This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The president gave an extended speech at Foxconn's Opus building following the groundbreaking. The speech ran the gamut of topics, ranging from Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy's imminent retirement to trade tariffs with other countries. Trump singled out Canada in particular.
We're going to be treated fairly when our great farmers in Iowa, Wisconsin, upper New York State, when we want to sell our dairy products into Canada, they charge us 275%. 275%! Essentially, what they're saying is we don't want your product. Because who's going to pay that? So we're going to level out the playing fields, folks. They send us a lot of stuff. No tax. We're going to work it out. It's going to be friendly. We love Canada. We love Canada. I love Canada. But we're going to work it out.
By coincidence, Canada's Consul General to the Midwest was in Milwaukee yesterday. John Cruickshank stopped by the Lake Effect studio to talk about the state of trade relations between the two countries. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Do you think, are these unprecedented times for U.S.-Canadian relations right now?
No. The difficult times, the turbulent times, but we've been through a lot together. And just as recently as the Nixon period, when you guys went off the gold standard, immediately placed 10% tariffs on everything coming over the border. It was shocking, and it changed everything. So we've been through it, we've had ups and downs with free trade together too. As a matter of fact, one of the times you threw us out as free trade neighbors was just after the Civil War. And you apparently didn't like the fact that we were doing some trading with the rebels. So it goes. History is long.
Long and fairly interesting. Just in the recent hours as we're having this conversation, President Trump gave a speech following the groundbreaking at the new Foxconn factory just south of Milwaukee, in which he talked about tariffs and trade and brought up Canada in particular, as he has done several times in recent days, and his desire to, in his words, level the playing field. Given the evolving trade situation between the two countries, what do Canadian people and companies think when they hear rhetoric like that?
They think that this is negotiating tactics. They think that he is as he's known to have in the past to overstate a case in order to reach a desired end.
And what do you think of the notion that the playing field is not level?
There are absolutely no facts that would support that, and he doesn't raise any. We've had fair and extraordinarily balanced trade under NAFTA and prior to that under the FTA, the free trade agreement that we originally did back in the 80s. It's been of great benefit to both sides. I mean, look at the growth rates for both countries during that period. They've been very, very similar. So it's very hard to say that there's been something unbalanced about it because there's just nothing in the numbers that suggests that.
One of the examples that gets pointed to time and again is the Canadian tariff on U.S. dairy products, which dairy farmers in Wisconsin in particular say unfairly discriminates against them. Where does Canada see that issue?
When we did the free trade agreement and then when we did NAFTA, there were some carve-outs that were done. And we said in those two sets of negotiations, look, we have a managed system for dairy. We want to make sure that we protect the family farm, and we also want to make sure that consumers are protected from big swings in the price of milk and other goods. And the U.S. negotiators say, okay, sure, but you're going to have to pay for that. And we did, right? We did at the table. You have extremely high tariffs on peanuts and on sugar, and so this is a deal we made.
So you're saying, and I apologize for interrupting, you're saying the 270% tariff can't be looked at in a vacuum.
We paid for it. Right? We pay for it. If you look at the overall tariff level in Canada as compared to the overall tariff level in the U.S., Canada's slightly lower than the U.S. Right? And we came down from a higher level than you did. So we gave more when we signed the deal, but we did it with our eyes open. And you did it with your eyes open. And the fact that the president has seized on this and said, boy, this is unfair, these tariff levels, is it simply misrepresents what went on. Now, I think he's confusing a couple of things. There have been complaints from Wisconsin farmers about the hyper-filtered milk or ultra-filtered milk. There are no tariffs and there are no quotas on that milk. So their complaint is really that the market has begun to shift there.
What does the complete picture of trade between Wisconsin and Canada look like, including dairy, but the whole picture?
Well, just go to dairy, and Wisconsin has about a 5-to-1 advantage or surplus in dairy sales. So Wisconsin does very well. And overall, Wisconsin does very well, has a very substantial surplus with Canada. And it has that in almost every area, including services. So it's a very good deal. Canadians are your very best customers. We keep saying, don't beggar your customer, because you're the one who's going to get hurt in the end if you do that.
Well, and I know it was just this week that Canadian business leaders met with members of parliament to talk about the impact of tariffs on steel and aluminum. There are some who say the next step in this kind of escalating situation could be Canada levying new tariffs on things like American coal. What do you see as the likelihood of that happening?
Well, I sure hope we don't get into a tit for tat. But the reality is that the steel and aluminum tariffs have been slapped on Canada. They are illegal. I mean, they're not permitted either under the agreements that were made under the WTO, which was, after all, to a large extent, an American invention. And we've signed on for it, as America clearly did. Those rules prohibit the use of the national security clause in the way that they're presently being used. And they're also not permissible under the NAFTA agreement. There will be a deliberation. These things will go to some form of tribunal, and the U.S. will be found to have violated its own laws. So what Canada has done is said, all right, we don't like this, but we're going to take some countervailing measures, absolutely equal. To what's happening to Canadian goods. And we need to do that to protect our factories. We need to do it to protect our workers. And those measures will come down the instant these unfair tariffs are taken off.
So it could be coal.
It could be coal. It could be any number of things. It will certainly be steel and aluminum. No question about that. And there's a terrible irony in some of this, and especially especially clear in Wisconsin. An awful lot of the steel and aluminum that comes down here from Canada, which will now be tariffable, is fabricated here and then sold back to Canadians. But the prospect of it being sold back at 25% or 10% increases in costs really, are reduced. And that means that the real victims are going to be people of Wisconsin.
Consumers,
yeah, absolutely. But in this case, it's interesting because what's happening already here is that your steel prices and aluminum prices are rising here, despite the fact that your producers aren't facing any tariffs. They're rising because you've put the tariffs on. So that means for every business, you're not only going to be taking the expense of tariffed goods from Canada, you're going to be taking the expense from all of the steel going up here, all of the aluminum going up. And that means for everything you build for yourselves, it's going to be that much more expensive.
And not to put words in your mouth here, but it sounds like what you're saying is there's maybe a fundamental misunderstanding of the impact of tariffs that the Trump administration has.
Well, certainly, it's going to wind up hurting Americans. I mean, take you to the softwood lumber tariffs that were slapped on by this administration earlier. Again, after findings at the WTO and through NAFTA that these were inappropriate. And what's happened is the price of softwood lumber has risen far above the tariff level. So that the Home Builders Association of America says that it's adding $9,000 to the cost of a new home. So who's really being hit? You know, or especially those young people. The home builders say there are now 1 million young people who are unable to afford homes because of this tariff.
So let me ask you, you are a former journalist. What would be the question you would want to ask members of the Trump administration about where this is headed?
I'm like everybody else, not in my voice, but frankly, I've talked to an awful lot of Republican congressmen who are saying, "Okay, what's the plan?" and that's what I would be I'd be asking if I were sitting in the press gallery. You know, what's the plan? You know, how do we get to that point where we're growing again? Because that's what we've done so well. You look at the history of NAFTA and the doubling and trebling of the value of the economies in different areas, and you say, okay, so what's the plan to continue to grow?
Do you, in the position that you're in now, do you find yourself surprised that Canada appears to be in the crosshairs of this administration?
I never anticipated this. I spent 40 years in the media, and here I have this cushy government job. I thought I'd be kind of sleepy. Not so. None of us anticipated this. But look, there are always irritants in the relationships between great nations like ours, and it's particularly trying for us because the set position for us is amity. We get along really well. You know, we're related deeply. So this is particularly disturbing.
Well, so let me ask you a related but a different question here. As we're having this conversation, you're in town for kind of a pre-Canada Day gathering. What is the rest of the picture of U.S.-Canadian relations that you represent in your position in Chicago?
Well, look, I mean, we're celebrating the 60th anniversary of NORAD this year. Right? We've spent 60 years shoulder to shoulder, protecting the continent proving in ways that there are no other nations on earth that have a relationship like ours. And so an awful lot of what I do and the folks I work with is remind people this works really well together. And there are issues on which we have really shown the world, how to live well, how to live in a responsible way. You think about the agreement we have on treating the Great Lakes, which goes back now more than a century, is it's the original environmental treaty, right? I mean, it kind of defined how we should think about our Earth a long, long time ago. And that's something that we did together. So for the most part, I look to those successes and talk about those successes with people because there are so many. We do so much well when we do it together. And apparently we're even going to do world soccer together now.
People talk about the U.S.-Canadian border being the longest friendly, unfortified border in the world. Does it still feel like the world's longest friendly border in the world?
It still does. I think it's really important we not blow this stuff out of proportion. I mean, the reality is, we are still enormously close. The border is... We've done something remarkable with the border between the two of us. We've made it very, very hard for people of ill intention to get across because our security people work together all the time on everything. Whenever you see a threat, whenever we see a threat, that information is immediately shared. So that border is really, really impermeable to the bad guys. On trade, we get stuff across that border. The border is practically invisible. We move $2 billion worth of goods across that border every day. 400,000 people go across the border. And to do that without creating huge lineups, it's a big deal. But we've found a way, you know, in close cooperation to make remarkable things happen.
As somebody who used to go across the border fairly frequently, I will say the lines are longer than they used to be.
Yeah, yeah. It takes longer to get onto an airplane these days too. No question about it. You know, security is a bigger issue. I don't begrudge either side that. You know, we want that peace to be. We want to be so sure about security. But at the same time, we don't want to impede any of the commercial traffic, because if it slows down, if the border thickens, and that's what trade disputes can do, it can thicken borders. The first thing that happens is people get laid off, right? And it always comes down to working people, right? And that's absolutely what you desperately want to avoid.
Consul General John Cruickshank, thank you so much for your perspective.
A great pleasure to be with you, Mitch.
John Cruickshank is the Consul General of Canada to the Midwest, based in Chicago. He was in Milwaukee recently for a Canada Day reception at the Milwaukee School of Engineering's Grohmann Museum.